Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Welcome back to the Lantern Rouge Cycling Podcast for the double recap of Paris-Nice Stage 4 and Torino-Adriatico Stage 3. I've got to make sure I get them right because they're on different orders. Paris-Nice could have been the biggest GC stage today. It was maybe the hardest stage in the race, and maybe even given the weather conditions around the traps, it will be that, because there's snow and weather predicted this weekend. That was sort of the early news, was that that there's like 70 centimeters or like whatever centimeters of snow predicted for the weekend up at 1600 meters. So the Oran stage, stage 7, the mountaintop finish, that looks, I'd be very surprised if it happens. And then in Nice on stage 8, there could be flooding on the stage 8 as well. So this could end up being like the Tirreno Adriatico Van Avermaet one, Benji.
Ooh, that's a memory. And also, wasn't there also like a super rainy Bologna that Wellens ended up winning because some stages got cancelled? There's been a few of those, but this could indeed be that, or reminiscent of the last few stages of the Tour de France that Bernal ended up winning, even though that had at least 19 stages that were fully ridden, if I recall correctly. Yeah. But anyway, about this specific race, you're right, and that puts so much on this stage where I'm like, if you're Remco before the stage and you see that news, do you even attack then?
Well, he's not in the yellow jersey, is he?
Well, I know against UAE, yes, but I mean, you're right. Versus Roglic.
Well, yeah, Rog's got to go if he wants to win. He's got to go. I mean, if they basically knew to the mountaintop finish and then they do like one local lap on stage 8, you're not going to take a minute if you want to win the race. So I thought last night I already did a big rant about I wanted to see a raid today, Benji. And then when the weather news came out, I was like, this is now a no-brainer. No, if you want to win the race, you have to try something today. It would Visma with Jorgensen, Roglic with Bora, Remco with Quickstep, and UAE they don't have to do anything.
And in addition to that, you got to keep in mind that UAE is going to have to choose between 3.5 liters for who's going to pace first and who's going to pace next. When it comes to domestique work, if someone goes early, then we look at other teams, and I'm looking at Quickstep where I'm Van Wilder is an okay domestique, Vervaak is an okay domestique, but I also feel like that Quickstep's team is still not the super team when it comes to controlling any attacks on earlier climbs. Then when it comes to Bora, Vlasov's a co-leader on paper, so will he put himself in the works for Roglic? So there's so many teams that have limited domestiques or aren't necessarily, it's not a Jumbo-Visma Tour de France super team or a UAE super team from the Tour de France with one leader in Pogacar that fully rides for him and so forth. So that's also why I think attacks would have been an interesting idea. And let's get into the stage before we jump to that, though. Because
Profile.
You can do that first.
It is finishing on Montbrouille. They have basically 8 or 9 major climbs throughout the race, all category 2s except for the Col du Fou d'Avana, Le Chape, which is the second last climb. They're all around 3 to 5Ks, 6 to 7%. Col de Derbys is the exception, 9%, 2.3 kilometers. It's an intermediate sprint on a little 1,300 meter, 5% kicker, which is the third last climb. And then they go straight into that longer 5K, 7% climb. Descent then into Montbrouille, 3K, 7.7%. They've already done a lap of it, about a 7-minute climb, 8-minute climb, give or take. 184Ks, really hard stage, 3,500 meters of climbing, up and down all day. Rainy conditions, it's a hard stage, and there's early climbs to form a good break too.
And the breakaway that did form wasn't necessarily the 7-man, 8-man breakaway. There's still some good riders in there, like Scaroni's a good rider in my opinion on Astana. The base, not necessarily the the rider you would want to have in this stage in the breakaway, I think. If you, well, Billy was out of this race, so they had to try something, I guess, on every stage to win breakaways, but he's not going to move the needle here. Bissiger as well, not feeling like he's going to move the needle in a breakaway. Burgodeau only there for the KOM points, and that's what he does, takes KOM points. And those three get dropped by Scaroni because he's eventually just the best climber. So that's the story of the breakaway with 35 kilometers to go. Scaroni is finito. He's been caught by the peloton. And during this time, we've seen Bora control the gap to the breakaway because they see the stage as something they can maybe do something on, or a stage as, okay, this is a Roglic kind of finish. And every now and then, I feel like there was a moment where Ben Turner was pulling the peloton on, it might have been the first Mont Bruy, the one before we get to the Col du Fou d'Avenin. And it seems that Ineos maybe dare try to make the race a little bit harder by doing that, but I don't think that necessarily moved much of the needle either, because I feel like the descent of that Bruy was more impactful than the actual climbing segment, where there was a small split, Aje Desire with Gall was behind, they had to try and get back to the favorites group, which was being led by Bora, and that was in a run-in towards an intermediate sprint. And this is not one of those flat intermediate sprints. There's like a proper climbing section towards it, which made it a lot harder for Pedersen to play a role here, because I'm trying to figure out here, is Pedersen competing in the intermediate sprint against Remco, against Rogla and so forth for his green jersey, or to take away seconds for Skelmose?
Based on the other day, I think still to take seconds away for Skelmose, because he was meant to break more.
And it doesn't work out because of the hill that came before that intermediate sprint, because he finishes third in that. Yes, he might take away bonus seconds from some other people, but not from Remco and not from Rogla, because that's the 6 seconds, I think, for Remco and 4 for Rogla, or is it 3-1 in Paranese?
6-4-2.
Yeah, I thought so. So that's the story there. And Jurgensen was also fighting for these intermediate sprint points and seconds at least. And this is a moment where I've asked myself this quite a few times in the last like few years. What happens after an intermediate sprint? What happens after a bonus second sprint? Every now and then we see them looking at each other. This time it seems like Jurgensen wanted to keep it going. Remco then decided, after looking behind a bit and analyzing the situation, I'm also going to ride with Jurgensen. And then Roglic pulled through eventually as well. But there was always this waiting period, right? Between the riders pulling.
This is where everyone lost me today. They lost me. I couldn't elicit a plan out of Visma, Bora, Ineos, Quickstep. I couldn't figure it out. You're going to pull all day. Roglic 1 minute back. Takes four bonies. Then gets in a group. No UAE. Soler's dropped. Groschartner's dropped. Pollitt's dropped. And Vine was at the back. Bear in mind, on stage one, Remco wants to pull through with seven guys on a sprint stage.
Yeah.
And then doesn't pull here after the intermediate. And Roglic doesn't really pull. Okay, Pithy doesn't have to pull. I think Jorg pulled like once or twice.
Yeah, it's like,
I was like, are you serious? You have Platt behind. Like, you know you have to take the time somewhere. And also, Bora made the stage hard all day. They're running out of domestiques. I don't know why, when the break was caught already, Jungels is driving it full. I was like, to catch who? On the, like, what are you doing?
And it felt like they were all like looking at each other a bit too long before deciding to do one pull. And after that one pull each, they decided, oh, let's not do it. And then the group came back, which it's really unfortunate, because you're right, this is an opportunity to keep going because there's no UAE riders in the group. But I think the fear of the next couple of climbs got into them, which
it was a big peloton behind. I accept that, but suddenly four people start rolling through. What then? Harper has there is Harper to pull.
Yeah,
play devil's advocate. There's Harper to pull for Jayco, but then they have to sacrifice him. There's Vine to pull for UAE, and Ineos were pulling as well with Fraile because Bernal didn't really contest the bony sprint or wasn't able to. That is the other side of it. Like, you're going to have to then ride against other domestiques who are bringing guys back.
And Fraile seemed like he was going off the front while that was still getting caught back, and then it was up to UAE already. So I don't know. I would have liked to see it going just to see what happens, but it's not the end of the world that they didn't, I guess, because they still had an opportunity on the next climb to maybe go for an earlier rate than the last climb. So we get to that Call the food oven up.
Sorry, just but there in that moment, UAE must have been laughing.
They were certainly happy.
Yeah.
Well, they spend a little bit of energy to close down a group that self-neutralized themselves. So I think they will be happy with that situation. And we get to that Col du Fudavana. It's a longer climb, but I feel like there's this moment on the climb that we go into a onto a steeper segment after a 90-degree corner. And that's where it kind of kicked off between brackets, as in a mini kicked off. Because Pervak is leading the group, Flaps in second wheel. They turn onto that corner, and Pervak and Plap just ride off.
Bear in mind, Plap is leading GC if you take away the four UAE riders.
Yeah.
Like, Plap's on 15 seconds. So he's leading, like, he's up there on GC. And stages could be cancelled on the weekend, as a reminder. And, yeah, it was strange. Like, either he pulled too strong or someone lost the wheel, but this is where, yeah, Quickstep kind of fucked up the stage. Like, I thought even, frankly, I thought this was going to be a Remco, like, Hill Classic stage, and I thought he was going to launch on this, possibly on this climb, because it even, the last kilometer of it's 9.4%, and it really kicks up. It really suits him for that sprint over the top.
And it's something I've repeated a few times, but I feel like GC Remco is different from one day Remco. GC Remco, when mountain stages hit, he turns into the rider that all the other GC riders are, as in most of them.
Yeah.
Are kind of defensive, trying to figure that out, instead of using what he uses to win those one day races.
I agree.
As in, if he attacks on Fudavana, and let's say he gets a gap, hypothetically, he gets a gap, aren't we literally having an LBL situation where it's him versus a group with limited domestiques trying to chase him down? And even with domestiques, he's beaten them in the past. So it's like he doesn't want to take that risk in a stage race.
Well, here's the hypothetical. If this is a one-day race, does he want to ride to the finish to have a sprint from a group of 20 against Roglic and Schelmoser? Absolutely not. No world would he ride a one-day race that way. So there's the proof. Or maybe that wasn't the plan, Benji. And maybe the plan was to go on this climb and then the gap with Vavaka. Vavaka gets the call on the radio, stops. Flaps now got like a 15-second gap for free, quote-unquote, whilst the peloton didn't chase behind. And I think he makes a really good decision here. I mean, not just in hindsight, but at the time. First of all, he's not as explosive as the other GC riders, so he'll probably get gapped on the finish if he's in that group. He's more of a time trialist. Secondly, his descending's not that good at world tour level. That's the reality. And to do the descent solo in front in a group of one or two, I think is much better for him. And then also, I think he can really pull on the false flat downhill really, really hard before Mont Bruy.
Yeah.
So it's a really good move for Plap. He goes on with it. And then no one jumps. This guy's, he's now leading GC virtually on the climb. And maybe I understand, like, he's not in an Ineos jersey anymore with Jayco. Maybe he gets more leeway and, you know, hasn't done as much in World Tour GC races. But in Europe, I was surprised no one apart from Santi jumps because, yeah, Buitrago goes across to him. Other teams, Benji, have cards to play who are within a minute on GC.
Yeah. Looking at Bora, for example, they end up starting to pace behind these guys with, I think it was Sobrero at this point on the climb. Well, they have Vlasov, and maybe Vlasov just wasn't good enough to do that, but I would have expected Vlasov to maybe be the guy that could make that move to put pressure on the other teams, and then Roglic is in a seat behind them, but it felt like they were playing the traditional strategy of just keeping all the riders around the leader and then seeing where that gets them. And I don't know, I would have liked seeing Vlasov jump with Buitrago and Sothov and seeing that scenario build up.
Kelderman.
Exactly. So
Rodriguez
teams.
Or Bernal, probably Rodriguez.
Rodriguez.
Other teams got options. And again, UAE are laughing. Well, not laughing, but Bora pacing steadily and they get to sit in the group and they've not been attacked yet.
One UAE rider that wasn't laughing was Finn Fisher-Black, who ended up dropping on this climb. And I think this was also the moment where in the group was a bit of an odd crash, as in Gudu was taking out his jacket. And it looked like while doing so on like a 13% section, it like straight up swashed into his wheel and he crashes. And it leads to Aurélien Paré-Panter and Félix Gall of the other French team crashing as well. So those three riders are now behind as a consequence of that kind of silly crash. Really unfortunate to see that happen at this point, because that takes away Gull's chances and Godu's chances to really fight for it on this stage, to be honest. And Godu after this was, he was done for. Like,
yeah, either physically or mentally done.
Yeah, because he had issues following Pacher after this is what seemed to be the case to me. And we get to the top. Bora keeps pacing. And at the top, Vlasov and Roglic are isolated. So they don't have the domestiques anymore going into the descent. Vine takes over in that descent. And were you surprised to see Vine at the front?
Well, no. If UAE got to have somebody. Like, they got to have someone chasing and no one else is pacing. And you've got, and I think the gap was 15, 17 seconds at this point, not out of hand. Vine on the descent, it's a long descent too. He keeps it stable. You've got our mate, Jorgensen moves into second wheel. Remco's leaving a big gap every corner on the descent. Every corner. And I think they get to the bottom. The situation hasn't changed. We still got a pretty big GC group with all the hitters there. Golish, Gilmezer, Roglic, Vlasov, Kelderman, Jorgensen, everybody, Evenepoel, Van Wilder, Rodriguez, Bernal. Multiple teams, multiple teammates. Get to the base. And Vine just pulls up stumps. He wasn't finished, Benji, but he just pulls up stumps at the base of the descent. And I kind of like it.
As in, my work is done, I'm out.
No, it was you guys chase Ineos. You have five riders.
Yes, and in addition to that, he had a bit of a wobbly moment, I think, at the foot of Mont Bruy, where he was near the front of the group. He ends up being behind that Ineos rider that is pacing at that moment. Ineos rider moves to the right while Vine looks to be looking behind him, going into a little, what do you call that? Speed bump? Yes, speed bump thingy. And at that point, he like nearly crashed. So lucky that he stayed on the bike and ended up dropping not long after. But we're heading into the Mont Bruy climb and the gap.
Do you think Ineos were right for... Were you surprised that they A, paced, and B, that when they did pace, the gap like didn't change when Castro and De Plus were pulling?
Firstly, at this point, I don't really care if Ineos is pacing or not, because what are these domestiques going to do otherwise? Like,
yeah, I think it's
they're
fine.
There, you might as well use them is the thing in my head, because otherwise you're not fighting for the stage anyway. And yes, they're taking away work from UAE, that UAE might have to choose a leader to do that, but at that point, UAE is left with like their two riders that are at the top of GC, so you might as well start pacing with Ineos, because that's unlikely to expose an Ineos a UAE leader at that point. Secondly, was I surprised that they were losing time? I don't know. I feel like, is it me or these are not the domestiques that are going to take time on Plap on this segment in my head? So that didn't necessarily shock me. But also when it comes to Buitrago being at the front, the gap also kept going up. So there's no way they were soft pacing at that point in my head. So they were trying to close that gap down towards Mont Bruy. And yeah, I was kind of surprised that the gap was maybe extending so significantly. As in, if it went up like 1 or 2 seconds, 3 seconds, fine. But it went up to like 40, 48 seconds at a certain point. But at the foot, it was 40 seconds, if I recall.
Yeah. Buitrago, that's still a big gap against two good riders. And Santi's good on these sort of climbs. The guy podium Liège on a 7-minute climb, 3K, 7.5%.
Yeah, and his tactics were on point, even though me as a famous... Plap
was never winning this stage. Never, ever.
Well, I can fanboy, my friend. I can fanboy. It's unlikely that he's going to win the stage. And it became more unlikely when Buitrago stayed in his wheel for the first portion because he was I'll take the stage. You're in the virtual lead. Do it.
Yeah. Santi was always going to be like, nah, you're ahead of me on GC. You ride for the yellow jersey. I want that stage win. And if I could go up some GC positions into the top 10, I'll take it as well. So, and also he's more explosive. And you could tell Plap almost knew it was coming, Benji, because Santi hits him, probably goes to 7 watts per kilo or over 400 watts, 10, 15 seconds. Plap basically doesn't react. Yep. And you think, oh, is he fucked? But then the whole rest of the climb, they basically do the climb the same speed. Him and Santi. Yeah. So he was clearly just riding to... Because he's got such a big gap now. Yeah, he can play for GC positions. And back in the GC group, Benji, it's being paced by Van Wilder. Vlasov started at the bottom, but he was kind of cooked already. And it was really Van Wilder for a long, long, long time. And he didn't gain any time on Plap, let alone Buitrago. The gap went up. The gap went to like 42, 45 from memory, just about. And eventually we see an attack from Remco, maybe, I don't know, 500 meters to go or something in the corners, in the forest.
I think it was a bit earlier. It was 500 at the top, if I recall correctly, but that was for the breakaway at that point. So I reckon it was about 800, 900 meters, but I feel like that first attack just wasn't very hard. That first attack, it exposed the people that were supposed to drop at that point. But when it comes to the actual opposing leaders, like you'd expect a Roglic to follow a Jorgensen, a Skelmos, a UAE leader and so forth. And that was the case. I think Almeida was doing his thingy again.
Yeah.
Because I didn't necessarily see him in those first and six
McNulty.
Riders when that
Both
move happened.
Both him and McNulty were like, they were struggling.
And the second attack was where it looked a bit more fierce, no?
Yeah, the second attack, he really gave it some. And I think he was, well, he probably would have been expecting Roglic, right? Like, this is a Roglic stage, Bora have ridden all day, and Roglic is deep. And he's not, like, remember Catalunya, Benji, last year on this sort of stage?
Yeah.
Roglic is, like, glued to Remco's wheel.
Yeah.
But he's behind, there's Skelmoser in Remco's wheel, then there's Goll and Jorgensen, and then Bernal Roglic. Roglic is, like, not moving up quickly. Goll looks really, really good. He's moving up on the inside. I think he had a dig in between Remco's two moves, if you didn't mention that. And yeah, Remco goes again. Almeida's on a gap this time, stays on a gap. And basically they sprint it out for the... Oh, sorry. Santi goes clear, wins the stage. That goes without saying. Plap in second on 10 seconds. And then Remco does a long lead out and Skelmoser just comes over the top of him at the end for four bonies. So Remco misses out on four bonus seconds. Bernal then on a two-second gap in a group of Goll, Roglic, and Jorgensen. Tejada on another four-second gap, so 6 seconds behind Skelmoser Remco on 43 seconds. He looks very good, and Astana did a really good TT yesterday for the team they had. McNulty and Kelderman on a nine-second gap, and then Almeida on a 11-second gap. Then there's Uran, APP, Rodriguez on 59, on... I don't know, like 20 seconds. Vlasov loses, can I count? 30 seconds, 32 seconds to the Remco Skelmoser group. So
and
he's kind of out of GC completely now.
This is after APP saved Goll's life also on the previous climb where he came back on the food oven after that little skirmish crash with Godu. Godu is like Shadow Realm, 6 minutes.
Oof. Yeah. So and Goll got gapped on the descent by Jungels before the intermediate sprint. I swear something happened, the same thing in the Tour de France last year, stage 14, when Van Aert was in the front and there was a split with Yates and Goll behind before Juplin.
Yeah, correct.
Could be wrong. I could be wrong.
I think you're right, though.
So Goll, that was position, though.
Lessons learned of this stage. First of all, is it weird for me to say that Primoz Roglic on Jumbo-Visma wins this stage?
I don't think it's a guarantee. Primoz Roglic lost uphill sprints to Remco Evenepoel up here next to my house last year in the Vuelta. And he lost to Ciccone, that side of my house in Catalonia on Valter.
Yeah.
Oh, no, not Valter. Oh, yeah, it might have been Valter. So, but he ain't getting gapped like that. Yeah. That's what you mean. It's like,
and
he wasn't even, he did, it's not like, I think in those Catalunya stages, for example, he threw in a dig and then Ciccone just nailed him on Valter. Here, he's like clinging on for dear life and being put on a gap.
Is it possible that he's losing time in the positioning towards the hills? Because I felt like every single hill that started and every single segment where you'd want to be at the front, he was not at the front. And then he'd have to move up a little bit after that and... I think that's one factor, maybe.
No, because that was a problem on Visma.
Yeah, but not on these climbs.
Yeah, true.
Like, it was a problem in, like, Sanremo or something, but not on a climb in Paris-Nice or something. Then he'd be at the front with a proper Visma train in front of him and Jumbo Visma train back then. But, like, Bora was isolated with just Vlasov and him for the final climb, which they kind of did themselves.
Well, that's why I couldn't really figure out what the plan was. I think he'll be ruining it even as well as Quickstep, because you've got, well, actually, Luke just mentioned in the chat, to your point, Benji, if he was on Visma, then Plapp and Buitrago don't just go up the road like that.
Fair point.
Because they keep the bonies in play with Kelderman pacing or somebody like that. But Quickstep also will be ruining missed bonies and a missed stage win opportunity for Remco. And it's like we said, like I still think Remco, like he should have at least come second in the stage. Like, and I think when you look at where Schelmoser was on other climbs, the way this stage played out was perfect for Schelmoser.
Yep.
For basically, no, it wasn't slow. Listen, I know it's not slow, but it was for the Mont Bruy, the final Mont Bruy with the way Van Wilder paced, it wasn't really rapid like they can do it with other riders. And I also think the way the stage played out didn't suit Jorgensen at all. It ended up being a 500-meter uphill sprint against Schelmoser, Roglic, and Evenepoel, not his forte. And I think a hill classic in the rain like this, he would have been better off in a different, like, Plapp style. But the reality is, I think if a Visma rider jumps there, he doesn't get the leeway Plapp does. But you don't know. Fortune favors the brave. So I think big congrats to Bahrain and Plapp. Maybe that wasn't the plan for Plapp to get 15 free seconds from Vavaka. But he went on with it. And Santi, I love Santi. I listened to his pre-race interview this morning. I knew he'd try something. He was like, yeah, I'm looking for an opportunity. Yeah.
Comparing that to the Remco pre-race interview that I heard on Sports yesterday, where the interview was like, what's the plan for today? And he was like, there's no plan.
I think that's like sometimes a bad attitude that teams have, is that it's like UAE's in the lead, so UAE solve it all. Even though you should be trying to achieve something on this stage with the parkour that suits your riders.
His take was basically, shouldn't you be taking any time on UAE, is what the interviewer asked. And he was like, I think that's going to happen automatically as the stage continues. Riders will drop.
Okay, that is true. They did drop at the end. But I'm telling you, with the legs they have today, the way the stage played out, Almeida and Minardi, they should go back to the bus today. And all those UAE guys should be smiling. They should be smiling, because the weekend stages, listen, if they get cancelled and they get killed in the weekend stages, it doesn't matter. But I'll remind you, Almeida last year in Paris-Nice, and McNulty the other year in Paris-Nice, 2022, they were really bad in the earlier stages. And then on the long climb Col de Torino, where it was Martinez and Roglic, they were good. They were really good and they held on well there. So it doesn't mean they're going to be bad on the later stages, but those stages might also be cancelled. And here's the revised GC. We've got Luke Plapp. Bang, first, look at that, off Ineos, onto Jayco Alula, into the GC lead. I'm liking that we're keeping it in Antipodean hands, three different Antipodeans in a row, thanks very much.
What a clean Santa Sur Down Under, still saying it.
I don't know, maybe not. Santi in second on 13 seconds, McNulty and Almeida on 27.29, Remco moves up three spots into fifth on 30 seconds, but now... He is right in a sense, Benji. Remco is one bonus sprint away from being ahead of Almeida and McNulty. So he really doesn't have to do too much, but now they've got to get rid of Santi and Plapp at some point. Bernal looked really, really good in sixth on 40 seconds. Harper in seventh on 46 seconds. Jorgensen on 52 seconds. So he was stronger than Harper, Almeida, and McNulty today. But they're still ahead of him. Uran in ninth on 54 seconds and C-Rod on 102. Gold moves up 13 spots, also on 102. So, wow, where did Van Wilder finish this stage? Oh, he did lose a fair bit of time. So, Vlasov on 148.
Where's Rod? Also didn't look like he was flying anymore when he was doing the pacing for Remco on that climb. But I will say, for Quickstep strategy today, it's really all about that one move on Fudana, right? If Pervaka doesn't accidentally launch Plapp, then Buitrago doesn't get that rider to bridge towards, and that rider that can ride with him off that climb either. And if it's just the group behind that goes to the line without that group ahead, then I'd argue this was a relatively perfect stage, being only 3 seconds behind. And even though ideally you would want more, ideally you would want to be above them, knowing the stages disappear potentially.
So Luke just told me that Amati Piorelli on Twitter said that Santi did the climb today, Montbrui, the last 2.5Ks at the same speed, 1 second slower than the Bernal Roglic Jorgensen group and 3 seconds slower than the Schelmoser Evenepoel. So basically, Santi took a lot of time that when he kicked away from Plap. And he was very strong. And I don't think you should just think, okay, maybe the longer climb, whatever. Don't be so sure you're going to drop the Liège-Bastogne-Liège podium finisher on stage eight. They're just going to drop him. Or he won't come back. Bahrain, good GC team. So,
and also, it's 30 seconds for Remco. It's 27 seconds for UAE, which that's quite a bit of timing. It's not like it's going to be
but
simple
that's what I mean.
To do that.
That's why it's a problem what this happened. If, okay, I can be like, oh, they should have done a raid, but they do this. It's a PlayStation game. I understand. Like, okay, it's not realistic sometimes.
It'll be
that
fair.
That would be fine.
Most of the time, if it is.
Yeah. That would be fine if Santi and Plap didn't just take all that time. Because, yeah, if Remco was sitting 3 seconds behind the UAE guys who he just dropped with a sprint today, he is sitting pretty and he doesn't have to do anything. But now you've got a problem you've got to solve later on. Maybe Santi just drops later. Maybe Plap does. But they weren't shit on Montbrui at all. They rode that like proper GC contenders. Anything else from this stage? Benji. Oh, Roglic. He's on 1:10 in GC. What has he got to do?
I don't know, man. Like, he didn't look that impressive today. Being gapped on that climb, that shouldn't happen. So, is it too early to say that it's prim over for the Sparinese?
It's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult. Yeah.
I fear so as well. That's all, to be honest, about this stage.
Okay. Tomorrow's stage, stage five, from Saint-Sauveur de Montagu to Sisteron, 195 kilometers long. Long stage, could be raining. It's like medium mountain, but like long false flat drags. There's a bonus sprint at the top of 1K, 6%, where they go just after the finish line and they come back around and finish on the flat. Yeah, it kind of looks like a sprint stage, but to me, this is the Andrea Baggioli against four French riders, VMOs breakaway stage, right?
But Bud Godol's going to be in the break for KOM, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So your chance of having Jordan Gega in there is limited unless Total has two riders in the breakaway, which they haven't done usually. But who else could be in that breakaway? That's the real question, eh? Who else could be in that breakaway that couldn't win the stage? I'm going through all the teams right now. I'm trying to figure out. Have we seen any form on Zimmermann lately?
Not really. Oh, he's okay in TDU, maybe?
Fuck it. Zimmermann's going to win the stage.
Okay.
Even though hard for him to win, but YOLO.
Decline, Groeneweg, Jakobsen, Ackermann, all made, and Caden Groves, all made the time cut without any problems. Sam Bennett as well. So all the sprinters, Lecoq, they're still in the race. So maybe if the sprinters teams do get together, they can control this. But I would like to see some teams trying to get in the breakaway tomorrow, particularly, I don't know.
To be honest, if
you and Kostiuk for Arkea.
If you're Trek and you see the others are helping you control the breakaway formation and the earlier part of the stage, I consider going ham on the last three categorized climbs to drop whoever you can and see if you can lead Pedersen to a stage win.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you won't drop Groves, but Jakobsen and the other guys I mentioned declined. They will drop on that Sisteron climb.
Koi might not, though.
Who?
Koi is relatively versatile.
Oh, yeah, Koi's here.
Mate, you should know.
Listen, you know I like GC. I'm a GC guy. You're right. On 1K, 6%, he shouldn't drop.
It's going to be a sprint.
You think so?
That's in the chat for Zimmermann. Yeah.
I think so as well. There's too many teams that have sprinters that still want to have a crack at this, and there's not that dominant guy that, like, they'll think they can beat Pedersen, and maybe they're right too. So you're right. It should be a sprint. But I'm going to go with Ewan Kostiuk from the breakaway. Arkea, B&B Hotel, do not put it all in for Demar. Come on.
That prediction will cost you.
Yeah. They got to go on the break. Come on. Kostyuk, he is in good form, that guy. He's really strong. My picks for, I think, who did I pick for today for the stage? Yoni Zagira. I think he got dropped and lost 10 minutes, so that went well. So I'm on fire. All right. Tirreno Adriatico. This was 225 kilometers. I went on another long rant yesterday, getting the breakaway. And we had our Coratec and Bardiani breakaway, Benji, in this sort of tricky sprint stage. I always thought the sprinters could get through it. It is 1K, sort of 5% climb, 1K from the finish, crest 1K from the finish. But who did get in the break in the end? Your Slovakian friend.
No. It was famous Swiss rider Jan Sturkli from Team Coratec, Vinnie Fantini. Very respected man, very respected country. I apologize for my words yesterday. Don't take my cheese away.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Anyway, my voice just died. Zoccarato was in the breakaway too. I think he's in Bardiani. I think. But anyway, that was a two-man breakaway. Got caught eventually, and then I started tuning in into the broadcast at about 15K to go. So I don't know what else happened in this stage before 15K to go. I just know that EF was pacing on the Casa Castalda climb, and at a certain point, Carapaz was at the front of the group pacing.
Yeah, they're obviously trying to make it hard. This is the finish that MVDP won and did. Is it the and did the arms cross celebration in 2021 ahead of
that was harder. No,
I think it was this finish. But I thought that was like more of a consistent drag. I think though, yeah. Alaphilippe won the Bellagio one the day before, which was harder. And then MVDP won this one. I remember I was on the Gold Coast. I can remember. Yeah. And anyway, Bettiol, I'm pretty sure, was okay on that finish. And Bettiol's not got a bad sprint uphill, but this isn't like it does have a little uphill kicker at the end. And they make it hard, but it's, you see, Benji, as they come over the crest of that 7K 3% climb, the peloton's massive. And it's not straight into the finish either. There is time for all the sprinters to move back up. There's enough time, because unless EF can put the best rouleurs in the world and pace full gas all the way to the base of the next climb, there's going to be a lull, and we duly see Alpecin move Philipsen right to the front. Quickstep move Melier right to the front. So if they're there, then Bauhaus is there and everybody else is there. So, but then what did you see in the run into that like 1K kicker?
Well, first of all, Strong was good. He was strong together with his team. Simon Clark from Israel brought forward.
Yep.
Corbin Strong. Milan was in a good position. And like the thing with Alpecin, like you mentioned, is that yes, they had three riders with about 4K to go, but they just started running out of men. So their strategy was just to put Philipsen in there to then figure it out himself once the climb started, is how I perceived it, because he was isolated when that started. And that brings him into a moment with 1.2-ish K to go where he's in P6 behind the Clark Strong duo, behind Jonathan Milan. So he's kind of going into this like squeezy last kilometer, because it's kind of a snaky last kilometer, right? It's not straightforward. There's small narrow bends everywhere, so it's going to be hard to move up, and that leads to what's going to happen in the last kilometer, right? But by the way, at this point, I hadn't even perceived a Bahrain rider on my screen.
Yeah, they actually like kept a rider for the proper leader, and they had like three riders just about there. Yeah. They were, if you look at the hats at 500 meters to go after that little kicker, you can see about four of their helmets in the front 10, 12 riders. It's like they crazy. Really... They had the right riders for this stage. I don't know where Binny was. Something happened to him, Benji, but he was just about second favorite for this stage. And he wasn't in good position. And there's this left-hand turn, 300 meters to go. Pasqualon maybe is goes underneath Bauhaus. Bauhaus actually just comes right over the top because I think Albanese, let me get the arcade. It's Volkan. What the fuck?
Yes. My reaction too.
Okay. Volkan jumps. These stages are always interesting. Like it could be any rider, you know? Volkan.
You won't cost you?
He's in France. he jumps and basically Bauhaus undercuts the corner and slides in front of his lead out to get that lead out from the big Volk. And it's perfect timing from him. And at the same time, Philipsen, who lost positions on the little kick up, and he went to Milan's wheel. And I think that was a mistake because Milan gets lost. He struggles with positioning. And then Philipsen tries to, in that corner, move up the inside. And basically, I think, I'm trying to see what happens exactly. Zangler moves in on him. And Philipsen kind of just chops himself or crashes himself in the wet.
I feel like it's the kind of corner where every single rider was kind of surprised at how much it bended. And at the front, they start braking, like very close to the corner. And Philipsen comes with more speed because he's like, oh, I can do this without braking, my friend. And then eventually he just ends up having to brake very late because he was going to ride into everybody else. And in doing so, while being slightly hindered in the corner, but people are taking a corner. So that happens. He just gets swacked in the floor by, I can't even place by who. Like, it's just, he just came up with a bit too much speed, and as a consequence, he crashed. And race incident?
Yeah, I think so. So he goes down. I think he might have been, you never say never with Philipsen, but he might have even been too deep through that corner to win. Bauhaus comes out of the wheel in the corner and wins handily. Milan comes late, finishes second. Volkan third. Berthiaume was fourth, so EF weren't barking up the wrong tree completely. Like, he was a live chance for the stage. Vendrame fifth, Velasco sixth, Caruso sixth. What is this? Is there Caruso seventh? Sorry, what the hell? Meyerhofer eighth, Vermaaker ninth, Arndt 10th, Ayuso 11th, and Pascal on 12th. So two Bahrain lead out men, 10th and 12th, shows you how well they were positioned and in front with 500 meters to go that they still finished so well in this stage. Ineos, I think I thought it was a chance for Ganna, but I just couldn't see him in the end. I don't have the full list of results yet, so I don't know if he got dropped on the climb, but it wasn't one for him today. And I also think, okay, Volkan third, but I think Pidcock, the way his sprint looked so far this year, I also don't think one for Pidcock too. I think the later stages are for him. Anything else? I mean, if it's going to be a mess, if there's a last, we should have known, Benji.
Nah.
Corner at 250. I said it on the wrong stage.
Not wet on conditions. These gradients.
I know.
I felt like this was too hard for Bauhaus.
Yeah,
Bauhaus
so
dropped over a bridge in Slovenia when I watched him a few years ago. Like, he's not the most versatile sprinter. And for him to then show up and do this, that's really bloody impressive to be there with four riders. So full props for Bahrain for pulling this off, because I did not necessarily see it coming. Milan seemed to have struggled with the climb before. So I think that took away from his sprinting power at the finish line, because otherwise I reckon it would have been closer.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, if you said to me, oh, who's a slightly better rider on the hills before a sprint, Merlier or Bauhaus, I would have been like, much of a muchness. I would, and Merlier was, he was gone. He was not competitive in this sprint. So Bauhaus clearly a little bit better, or not a little bit, quite a bit better in that regard. And he had four top tens in UAE. He just missed that Tanunda sprint behind Welsford. He actually came with good speed in that, in stage one of TDU, but today he gets it right. And if he gets it right and the other favorites get it wrong, he's always there or thereabouts. And congrats to him. He and Bahrain with the double today. So the good day for them. They just, when it's Bahrain, we never talk, like, everyone, if you did a poll, Benji, who's a better team, Trek or Bahrain, of the public and the media?
Trek would always win that poll, but
then you look at the World Tour wins at the end of the year and you're like, Bahrain victorious. Yep. Nominative determinism. They win a lot of races. So Even though they yeah, so good on them. GC, someone fell out of GC. Don't know who.
Ooh la la, we've got some Remco news again.
Okay, well,
saying stuff
wait.
About. Oh,
wait,
you can go, you can go, you can go.
Ayuso stole these GC at Torino, 6 seconds ahead of Milano, 14 ahead of Vokala, Tiberi, Vingegaard there. So we still got the serious stages to come. Tomorrow's stage is another, maybe we tune in a little bit late, Benji, 208 kilometers long. We've got a 17 kilometer 5% climb to 1500 meters. If it's rainy and cold, it's a long, that's a miserable stage. you couldn't pay me enough to be a bike rider. obviously I've got the talent. But yeah, imagine doing 208Ks in the wet, a Torino transition stage. Fuck that. You reckon breakaway or sprint again?
I reckon sprint. Climb's way too early in the stage, even though it's 70 kilometers at 5%, typical RCS. But nah, it's sprint. It's sprint. It's
you
sprint.
Reckon?
And yeah, it's sprint.
Because if you're Alpecin, Jasper can get over that.
But goggles gone, so one namaste gone.
Respeak was strong today, but yeah, who else they got? Who else can sprint here? Albanese, Velasco, Zangler's good. Should be fine on that. I would love to see someone like Gregoire in the break. I think he's too close in GC, isn't he? Because he's such a good TT, so you got to respect him. I would love to see some breakaway action. Like, don't you think, is Schoen still in the race?
Yes.
I think you owe it to Schoen to let him to go in the break. Don't you think, what's got a higher probability? Schoen's helping pull all day?
Might as well try, eh?
Or helping pull all day for Milan versus Jasper, or current form Schoen's on this stage with that 2.7k 4% climb near the finish?
A wise man once told me, it's all about probability. You can do both.
Well, he might not, because if Trek don't help control and Schoen's goes in the break, they won't be both. But yeah, okay, it's interesting. I'm going to stick with my gut and go with the breakaway again. I'm going to go with Bastien Tronchon from the breakaway.
I like it. I'll accept it. Tronchon's a good rider. I will say that break gets dipped with 300 meters to go. Tronchon gets caught 300 meters to go. Very specific prediction right here. And the eventual winner from the sprint in the peloton is Cavendish, definitely dropping on that climb.
So he's still here?
Yeah, he is. I'm going to say...
I actually disagree. I actually think Dasso climb is better for Cavendish than the stage today.
Probably. But yeah. Philipson wins anyway.
Yeah. Unless he's still too banged.
Nah. Merlier wins this time around. We got a 1v1 in. It needs to be equal now. And then they fight again on, what is it, stage 7? Or is there another sprint stage coming? Stage 7, right? Is lost, or 8?
Free Kwiatkowski. Free Kwiatko. Let him in the breakaway. Come on, he's offered so much to the team. Organa. If those two get in the break, see ya. So, yeah. Okay, that was Torino. Benji said there's some breaking news. What is the breaking news, Benji?
We should like implement the Remco segment, right? At the end of like the podcast of like, Remco said something about the stage or not?
That's why we make them go for a while, because like if we just wait half an hour after the stage, we get a good quote to tack 10 minutes on.
So I'd like Luke to send me, while I'm talking about this, the source of this. But first of all, I'm looking at HLN where Evenepoel is saying the team was strong, the legs felt good, and I did I don't know how to translate that, actually. Ik heb een zaakje gedaan is the Dutch thing, which means I made some. I got an advantage out of this stage, is, I think, the
Didn't
thing...
he say this morning that the UCI was playing with their ass?
What?
Yeah, that was the literal translation with the head sock thing. Your language needs to be studied, Berla.
I have no clue what that statement even means in Flemish. I can't even translate it myself. He had a Cycling Pro interview where he also said some stuff about UAE Team Emirates, as in he said along the lines of UAE Team Emirates tactics were a bit strange. I mean, their choice to let those boys new leader Plap on stage when a Buitrago ride. If you still have four guys at the front of the rankings, you can still make one person work, right? They did that for a while, but Jayvine stopped again a little later. There was a shame for all the classification riders because it means Plap and Buitrago, two dangerous men, can stay away. My response to that is you shouldn't be complaining about UAE because your team literally helped them right away.
That shows I like Remco. I'm glad we did the interview with him last year, but he couldn't be further wrong on that quote. That shows a pretty big lack of reflection on what actually happened in the stage. UAE had their GC guys were on the limit. They nearly got dropped. Almeida and McNulty. They knew that. You could see all the other climbs. Those guys were sliding. They were hanging on for dear life. And why would, they're not the favorite. Before this race, I don't care that someone's wearing the yellow jersey. But now, the gap isn't too big between Remco and them. Remco is the race favorite, I thought, before the race. You're right. His team launched Plat Benji, and then when Santi jumped, Van Wilder didn't do anything. So I got no problem with the way UAE rode today. They didn't create the situation. Yep. They didn't make the race hard. They were limited in numbers. They used Vine, and Vine, when he pulled, he did the whole descent and he kept the gap the same. And then they got to the valley, four Ineos there, you guys pace.
Yeah, and they only have two riders left for Montbrouilly because Fisher Black dropped on the climb before. So
yeah, and Soler was gone.
It was only Vine that could do it. So yeah, I disagree with the take as well. Anyway, that's our Remco said something segment.
Yeah, I mean, they need to look at how they played today's stage, Quickstep. Same with Bora and I think Visma. I think.
By the way, I'm gonna correct your vile insinuations about the Flemish language. Remco said that UCI was playing with his ball, not with his ass.
That's much more normal than fun. Fair enough.
It's actually
they say it in Spanish as well. They say it in Spanish. I know.
It's a mainstream sentence.
Yeah. It's like an Italian. You're busting my balls. You're breaking my balls. You know,
But in Flemish, it sounds much better.
Yeah, I like it in The Sopranos. I like it better there. Anyway, that was Remco's interviews. I mean, we got to say, he blamed the clerk and then had to apologize. This is so much wasted mental energy, Benji. Like, the clerk thing, it's avoidable. Having to apologize for it. It just seems that he gets, and I'm not saying he shouldn't have any personality. That's not what I'm saying. And I agree with what Freeba said about that. But when the race first finishes, he's really on a heightened state of tension.
Yeah.
And then he calms down afterwards. But it's good for quotes, I guess. Maybe that.
Yeah, I fully agree with you. As in,
he's a rational, smart person.
Yes, that's the thing.
Yeah.
So 15 minutes later, he's probably going to have a different opinion than the thing he said in the interview itself. So,
but I'm the same. I'm the same. I'm completely crazy. I was a bit like that, so I understand it. But maybe they just shouldn't let him do flash interviews. 10 minutes is that a solution? But then I don't want to recommend that either.
Yeah, and Remco crosses the line. Philo shows up with duct tape, tapes his mouth.
Philo does a stopwatch. He does a timer.
Let's go. 15 minutes. Wait, shut up.
It sounds stupid. It actually makes sense. In what other sport in the would you put a mic in their face when they're still at 180 heart rate? It isn't that bad an idea, but anyway. I think that's all.
It's much more fun if they do have personality. So
I
like riders that say what they think, and I don't blame them for being wrong in that, even though we like correcting them if they're wrong. But I don't blame them for being wrong about that, as long as they then, for example, as long as Remco then goes towards Tim Leclerc and actually apologizes, and that's apparently what happened, which that's okay. Then it's okay, we can close that chapter.
I'm also take a step back and I'm thinking, this is every stage race, this sort of thing happens. It is you don't see Vingegaard. Vingegaard is tranquilo. You know, you're here to do a job, execute a plan, relax. Nothing's ever too big a deal.
Yeah, but no offense, but Jonas does not have the rock star personality as I see it. Or at least it doesn't come out.
No, like he obviously
because in Danish interviews he kind of does.
Jonas actually is like, yeah, a little, but no, he's not like a superstar like Poggy. You know, Poggy really in the public eye in the camera is much more got a bit more showmanship about him.
And that's okay. Like they're cyclists.
Yeah,
some
but Poggy
more...
after the race, oh, except for Tour of Flanders. But like, if something goes. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just saying, like, stage races, energy management, they're like, it's just so much wasted energy on that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Or maybe it doesn't really matter. That's all from us today. Hope you enjoyed it. We're back with another double header tomorrow. And stay tuned for that. Hope you enjoyed it. See you then. Ciao.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.